Well, Father, I thank you for that wonderful praise and worship service. I thank you, Father God, that I know it touched the hearts and your anointing was super strong here during the praise and worship, Father. And Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit who abides within this sanctuary. And I'm asking, Father, that the work you began during the song service, you complete by the time we leave here. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and this is what we're celebrating. Not a basket, not an egg, not a rabbit, but Father God, we're celebrating your Son who died on the cross so we could have salvation. And Father, we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. They're raising the price of eggs because it's Easter so that they can make money on Jesus. Amen. So you shouldn't be buying any eggs anyhow. Amen. We quit doing that a couple years ago when we realized we were promoting the world and not Jesus. Amen. Well, we're celebrating the Lord's Last Supper tonight. And I'm also going to read an article that came across my computer. And I want us to be totally and completely aware of what God is doing in this hour. Now, we're going to take communion first. Okay, it's up on the screen. I'm going to read Matthew 26:17. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the followers came to Jesus and they said, "We will prepare everything for you to eat the Passover meal. Where do you want us to have the meal?" Jesus answered, "Go into the city. Go to a man I know. Tell him that the teacher says the chosen time is near. I will have the Passover meal with my followers at your house." Wouldn't that be wonderful if God thought so much of you that he'd eat his last meal at your house? They obeyed and did what Jesus told them to do. They prepared the Passover meal. In the evening, Jesus was at the table with the 12 followers. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, thanked God for it. He broke off some pieces, gave them to his followers, and said, "Now take." All right, Jesus said, "Take this bread and eat it. It is my body." And then in verse 27, he says, "Then Jesus took a cup of wine, thanked God for it, and gave it to them and said, 'Each one of you drink some of it. This wine is my blood, which will be poured out to forgive the sins of many and begin the new agreement from God to his people.'" So as you drink this blood from the body of Jesus, ask God to forgive you of your sins. Now, if you really ask God to forgive you of your sins as you did the communion, I know he did. And God says in his word, go and sin no more. Now let's read the rest of this in verse 31. Jesus told the followers, "Tonight you will all lose your faith in me." I hadn't really noticed this before, but I think this is an awesome statement. He's talking to his disciples. He said, "Tonight you will all lose your faith in me. The scriptures say, I will kill the shepherd and the sheep will run away." A lot of you sitting in here tonight, even those in sound of my voice, you've already lost your faith in God. And that's why you're turning 100% to the devil and expecting him to do what only God can do. Then in verse 32, Jesus said, "But after I am killed, I will rise from death. Then I will go into Galilee. I will be there before you go there." Peter answered, "All the other followers may lose their faith in you, but my faith will never be shaken." And some people in this room and in the sound of my voice have said that. "I don't care what anybody else is going to do, but I'm going to still follow you." But look what Jesus said. Jesus answered, "The truth is, tonight you will say you don't know me. You will deny me three times before the rooster crows. But Peter answered, I will never say I don't know you. I will even die with you. And all the other followers said the same thing. Some of you say that. And why do I say that? You might sit here tonight and act like you know Jesus and you'll never leave him. But leave here and get among some of your family, some of your friends. You don't promote Jesus at all. You cuss and carry on and you promote the devil. So see, if you're going to profess to God that you're going to, you ask him to, deliver you from your sins, then you don't leave here and you promote the devil. You don't leave here and cuss and carry on. You don't leave here and do drugs and drink. You don't leave here and watch pornography. You've told God, taking communion, I want you to receive all of my sins and set me free. Okay. Now, since I've got you all set, let's read. But all right, fast and pray. It's a new day. And Lana says, I heard the Lord say, fast and pray. It's a new day. What I am birthing right now in this new day will only come to and through those who dedicate themselves to prayer and fasting. You hear what he just said? What I am releasing cannot come cheaply. This is Jesus speaking. I am calling my people to deeper consecration. I am calling my people to deeper surrender, for you cannot serve the world and serve me. You cannot serve your own desires and your flesh and serve me. For I am thundering the call from heaven again to abandon all and come all in to what I am doing in this hour. If you're really going to serve God, then you'll follow this fasting and prayer that he has for us for the next 21 days. God has been calling us. I know sometimes I prophesy to some of you who think you've attained, and God will say, I need you to come deeper. And I feel you stiffen right up. Who is she to say I'm not deep in God? Well, it's not me saying it. She is not saying it. He is saying it. And because you stiffen up and get that attitude, that means you're not as deep in God as you need to be. Because, see, you wouldn't come against the prophetic word, too. If you know the prophet, you wouldn't come against that word. You would say, well, there's something that I'm not aware of in me. All right? So God said he's calling us to complete surrender. God said many are coming before me with their all in, with conditions. See that? I am the God who defines the conditions, and the condition of my church in this hour is one that requires my fire to fall. How many times has God dropped his fire in this church? For my fire is about to fall on mixture, complacency, and half-heartedness. I am calling you, my people, surrender all. I'm calling you into the new things I am doing, but you must come in without your own agendas. Too many people sitting in this church have your own agendas, and God is saying, I want that agenda. I am the one, is that romance? Yeah. You must come in without your own agendas, and you must come in without your own conditions. I am the one, some people say, well, God, I'll serve you, but if you'll do this for me. That doesn't work with God. You just say, God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I am the one who determines the manifestation and release of my glory in the earth and the move of my spirit. It is not up to man to determine where and how I move. This church knows that all too well. I am returning my people to the understanding that I am the God of the heavens and the earth. Man has tried to take my place, and this pride has grieved my spirit. The hour has come upon us, saints, to purify, refine, and sift. I don't like that word, sift, because you just don't know what it feels like until he starts sifting you. All right, God said, in this hour, I'm about to deal with pride that will offend many minds and hearts. I'm about to deal with pride in such a deep shaking that many will see it as unexpected and will call it not God, but indeed it is my hand. I am building upon pure foundations in this hour because the mixture within my church has grieved my heart. My church has shied away from being deeply consecrated unto me and called it religion. But I say true religion is to be separated and unspotted from the world. You read that James 1:27. I am bringing my church back to a sure foundation of my word in order to purify her of her double-mindedness. Let's read that again. I am bringing my church back to a sure foundation of my word in order to purify her of her double-mindedness. Find that in James 1:8 and chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. One thing that cleared the church out one time was I said, you're all a religious bunch. We'd gotten quite a few new people in here. I never saw them again. And God says, spirit is calling unto spirit, and your religion has to go. And then I ministered along that line and ministered them right out the door. You know, you can't have religion. We've been preaching this for 30 years. It's by the Spirit only. And if you read your word, everything happened through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, you know, he was born, but he never got the Spirit until he was baptized. John the Baptist, when he was in his mother's womb, his spirit leaped. But yet, he's the one that baptized Jesus, and he didn't want to. And at that point is when Jesus received the Holy Spirit. And he went around doing all kind of miracles. Do you ever think maybe the reason why miracles aren't happening through you is because you aren't walking in the fullness of the Spirit? You still have this religious junk in you? Because it is junk. I want you to think about this tonight, because from what God's been telling me, he's not shaking no more. You're either going to get it or get out. And that's not me speaking. God said, am I not the King of kings and the Lord of lords? Am I not the one who created the heavens and the earth with my words? Who else is like me? Who holds the stars in their hands? No one else but me, for I do not say that I resist the proud and give grace to the humble. I'm sorry, it's for do I not say that I resist the proud and give grace to the humble. You find that in James 4, 6 through 8. My fire is about to fall in the culture of the parading of names and the elitism that is dividing my church. For a fierce wind of my spirit is upon my church. There is a sudden storm coming upon my church. It's going to purify, refine, and sift. I have never seen, ever since I became born again, I've never seen a group of people who have to be titled. And bishop was one of them. I'm a bishop. And I said, you know, and I've told this story before. I said, God, why? What's this bishop thing? He said, I didn't call them a bishop. They're calling their own self a bishop. I said, quit trying to title yourself. All right, a day of glory and trembling. I'm going to shake like I have never shaken before. And it will reveal the hearts of those that are for me and those who are against me. And I say unto you that many will be shocked at who is not for me. Remember what God said, I'd be shocked at who would not be here for the glory. All right, God's going to reveal all this. For I'm about to expose and reveal hearts. I'm going to take down the words that are spoken and the right words that are spoken. But the heart is not pure. The heart is not for me. And many of these ones are leading my sheep astray. Let's go back and read that again. Brett started. For I'm about to expose and reveal the hearts. Period. I'm going to take down the words that are spoken and the right words that are spoken. He's going to take the false and the true, okay? But the heart is not pure. You speak, you're double-minded, and you speak all kind of things, but your heart's not right. The heart is not for me. And many of these ones are leading my sheep astray. They are leading my people astray, and these falsities are about to be burned with my fire. I have called and I have called, but my words have fallen on many deaf ears. And now my words will be heard through the powerful demonstration of my hand to clear, to shift, to expose, and to remove. Are you listening here? For many are heralding a new day with complacency. But the new day that is upon my people is one of glory and one of trembling. It is one where my glory will be seen in a way that will cause my church to tremble. And you read that in Isaiah 66:2. The culture of game playing in my house is coming to an end. And remember, God just prophesied the last service, game playing is over. So the culture of game playing in my house is coming to an end, and I am dealing with those who seek to compete with me for the glory. Too many ministers out there are taking the credit for what God is doing. You're going to see them no more because God's going to wipe them out. Watch the places where my glory is going to fall and reside. Watch the humble spaces and places. What God is saying, he's not going to let his glory fall in these churches or magnifying themselves and letting God out of the picture. For many places where my manifest presence will reside will be unexpected, but they will be faithful, pure, and not prostituted. See that? Shake, rattle, and roll. I am coming to shake. I am coming to shake, to rattle, and to roll that which is not of me and has been built on man's effort and pride. 1 Corinthians 3:12-13. Many have thought that the shaking has come and gone. We thought that, didn't we? I thought that. But it's only just begun. I'm going to shake so violently in this hour that it will restore the awe of who I am, and it will cause my people to return to my face and their first love, for I am a jealous lover. Remember, God said we're in the days of awe. People are really going to know who God is real soon. And they're the people that come against God's true servants are going to know they're in trouble, because God talks about coming against God's true servants. And there won't be anything you can do because you've already done your deal, and now God's going to punish you. So why do you get so upset when people come against you? I get upset when my family goes out and makes a scene in public, because that puts an embarrassment on God as far as I'm concerned. I think when my family goes out in public, they should act just like Jesus. And I wish they'd do the same in the house. But it really bothers me when they go out on the streets and act like the devil. I'm just being honest. All right, things are about to drastically shift and drastically change. Much of what I have spoken about, the new era, is about to begin. I am returning to my people, to my heart, my feet, and my word. You know, some of you in here, we've been waiting quite a few years, haven't we, for God to really manifest himself in all of his glory in this place. But it's coming. Please don't lose heart. I see some of you come in here and you're angry. I see it on your faces. It's the way you walk. I feel when you walk by me. And I'm thinking, why are you giving up now when you spend just about all your lifetime trusting and believing in God? And he just talked to us about doubt and unbelief, didn't he? And see, you're tired of fighting, and so then your doubt and unbelief gets in there, and then the devil gets in there with all of his, whatever you want to call it, and he ruins you. Why would you do that? We were watching, Johnny and I, and my grandson, were watching the Cardinals today. We have a lot of Cardinals this year, and they're really bright red. And I said, somebody said, why are there so many Cardinals? And I said, well, they say wherever you see a Cardinal, there's an angel. And my grandson, he was looking, bending over the banister, looking out the window, and he said, then your angel has arrived, and I brought the Cardinals with me. I took that into my heart. I really took that in my heart, because I knew that was God speaking through him. You wait and see what God's going to do now. I didn't say anything. I just grinned quietly to myself. But he said, I'm the angel that brought the Cardinals. He's highly anointed of God, and the devil just has him in a circle, but that's going to break. Lost my place. Watch the prophetic movement in this hour. Is that where I'm at? Because I'm about to turn it upside down, and the pure prophets shall remain. See that? Watch the prophetic movement in this hour, because I'm about to turn it upside down, and the pure prophets shall remain. For what is happening in a prophetic movement and behind the scenes is a prostitution of my revelation and of the secrets of my heart. And it's time for a demonstration of the pure prophets and the pure prophetic to be seen across the earth. I will not allow anybody to prophesy in here that I know isn't walking with God the way they ought. I've had people leave. I even had somebody blow it with always come here and blow a shofar. I didn't invite, but they just did it. And I told him, you can't do that no more. Well, his friends got upset with me. He got upset with me, and I haven't heard. He's still out there doing whatever he's, you know, God's calling him to do. But I'm not going to allow anything that's not of God to be done in this church. You know how hard God has me preach. I'm supposed to protect you guys. It's up to me to make sure that the wolves does not come in and devour the sheep. And I have to take the brunt of it, but that's what I signed up for. All right? All right, God said, here I come to shake, rattle, and roll. Here I come to remove and tear down in an accelerated way what has been built in pride and what has been built in elitism and what has been built on false foundations, deception, and to feed the flesh and appetite of man. We're in this building because man told me I had to be in this building and not in my home. So I've been paying for that price for quite some time. The next building we go into would definitely be all God. And I don't care what people say to me. This building, if you look at it, it's falling down. I don't care what people say to me. God said, I will move you out of this building. And I don't think it's when the walls fall down either. Amen? Come on. All right, so did I say no longer will the words of my heart be used and abused? Or six, no longer will the words of my heart be used and abused. Here comes the fire and the fear of the Lord. Here comes the fire and the fear of the Lord upon the prophetic movement in the body of Christ. Do you know there's a lot of false prophets out there and people are just flocking to them? I really don't judge a prophet, you know, unless we're in here. But, you know, they're out there and the people love them. It's up to each one of you individually to judge the prophets. Not me. And if you can judge it just by watching how they move, how they say things, how they look, there's a whole lot of signs that let you know who is a false prophet and who is not. And you guys in here, if God has said you're a prophet, then you're a prophet. But you can't let the enemy twist your words. This is why I don't like to talk to you people, because I don't want to know your business. So that whenever God speaks to you, you know it's God. And nobody comes to me, and I don't go to anybody else either. But we don't tell each other what your business is, because we know that we want to prophesy accurately. All right? And we've had people say, there's no way you knew this was all God, because we don't know people when they come in here. And if you notice, sometimes I prophesy. Sometimes I have Adam do it. No, it's Aaron do it. Sometimes I have Alan, Brett, Chris. God will say, use this one or use that one. And it might be because I know something about you that I don't want to prophesy over you, because then you'll know that I know, and it's not, you'll think it's not God. So, you know, why do you want to be the prophet? When I first started on the scene, 40, 50 years ago, in the late 70s, I was the prophet that God had brought on the scene. I didn't realize that then, thank God. I might have not continued on, but I was invited all over. Because the prophet, this is what they said, the prophet's in town. That never went to my head, because you know what? I don't want to stand before God on Judgment Day and say, why did you prophesy falsely? This one, and then have to pay the price for it. I just say not say nothing. I don't really have to say nothing. You can't fire me because you don't pay me, right? I just come here and do nothing. All right, the perfect storm is about to begin. Now listen to this, guys. The perfect storm is about to begin, and all that is not of me will not remain. Get that into your spirit tonight. It will. God's going to take you out. It's a new day, and many are expecting the new day full of joy and celebration, and there will be great rejoicing in what I do and how I move, but the new day shall proceed with the restoration of the awe and wonder of who I am, the King of glory. My majesty is going to be manifested, and I will cause my church to tremble once again. See that? We're supposed to be rejoicing, but God's going to bring himself in here in such a way that you'll probably fall on the floor and want to stay there, probably try to crawl under the carpet. Because I'll tell you, when he comes heavily. And if you're not right, everybody's going to know it. We witnessed that. All right. So we're going to, God's called us to a 21-day fast. So I heard the word Esther, so I thought it might be an Esther fast. I looked it up. The queen and the Jewish community fasted for 3 days so that she could find favor before the king and plead for her life and that of her Jewish people, because if she went before the king without the king wanting her there, she would have been killed. So they were in trouble, and that's why they fasted. But we are in trouble too, yeah, because the things that are coming down the road are going to be fierce and furious, and it's going to take some of the church out. All right, God said, I am bringing my church back to a sure foundation of my word in order to purify her of her double-mindedness. So then God told me to start to call a 21-day fast starting Thursday, which is tomorrow, and it started in the morning. All right, now you can fast a liquid fast for 20 days, or you can eat one meal a day for the next 21 days. You know, I handed out the Daniel fast, and it leads you through the whole 21 days. And so you shouldn't have any questions. Everything is in that packet. Now, you know, and Brother Christopher is going to put this online tonight, but I told him to wait till I was finished here tonight. After I did 30-some packets, I thought, that's a lot of paper and a lot of ink and a lot of paper clipping. I said to Chris, why can't we just put this out? But anyhow, so you have it. It'll be on your email too, right? All right, I heard the Lord say, fast and pray, it's a new day. This is what she says to begin with, so I'm just repeating this. And God saying, what I am birthing right now in this new day will only come to and through those who dedicate themselves to prayer and fasting. All right, you're only going to receive it if you pray and fast. What I am releasing cannot come cheaply. I am calling my people to deeper consecration. And I know about everybody in this room just hates the fact that you can't eat. Because then you want to eat more than you ever ate, right? So this is really going to be sacrifice for some of you, not to eat. I'll put my hand up too, right? I'm calling my people to deeper surrender, for you cannot serve the world and serve me. You cannot serve your own desires and your flesh and serve me. For I am thundering the call from heaven again to abandon all and come all in to what I am doing in this hour. Now, I don't know who that young man is back there against that wall, but Brett, would you give him a word? We're going to stop here and let God do what he wants to do.
Son, I am setting your feet on fire with the move of my spirit. I am pouring the scrolls of heaven out into your spirit, man. And as you digest my word, son, you will speak forth the deeper revelations from my throne of grace. I am propelling you forward into a new sphere of influence. I will bring many of my people to your path, and you will minister to them the love, hope, and encouragement that they have need of in this hour. I have already opened your spiritual eyes to see and know and discern my spirit. And son, you will go forth with a brand new tongue. You will speak with the wisdom of Solomon. And son, you will bring many to my footstool. I am placing within your hand my revelation knowledge. And son, you will take this to the nations. I have opened doors of opportunity for you. And son, I want you to walk through them. I will give you the words to speak, and I will place you on the path that I desire for you to go. The enemy will come and harass and torment you, but as you keep your eyes fixed upon me, you will watch the salvation of the Lord at work on your behalf. You will go and accomplish the task that I have set before you. I want you to recenter yourself upon me. Let us become even more intimate one with another.
Aaron, you have something to add to that. Johnny, God would say unto you this night, I am that I am that I am, and there is none other like unto me. You know me in part, but you don't know me in whole. I want to come and visit you in the wee hours of the morning when you're just sitting, staring into space, and you're contemplating this and contemplating that. I want to be the author and finisher of your life. I want to lead, guide, and direct your footsteps from now until your days are numbered and they're coming up. But son, there are things in your life that you need to change and rearrange. And you already know this, but I'm just reminding you of it. And son, as you bring those things to the throne of grace, I, the Lord thy God, I will meet you there and I will clear the things up. There's many questions that you have before the throne, but son, you're too judgmental. I don't want you to judge others. I want you to take care of yourself. And when you take care of yourself and get yourself right, then you will no longer judge, but you will pray. And you will fast and you will pray. And son, you will see me in a new way. You will know of my manners. You will know how I speak and how I act. And son, I am a just God. You can trust me with your life. I am not demanding that you do these things. I'm asking that you do them. I'm sorry, Aaron, I interrupted.
So right now, there's a deposit of glory. Just receive all that right now. And it's a transference. In this point right now, son, I'm accepting all that you want to give me. All those hopes and dreams that you have stored down in your heart. Oh, those desires, son, the mixed desires, the good desires, the second best desires. Son, if you want the eternal path brought to you, you will surrender. And you surrender all these things, all these thoughts, all these fears, all these anxieties, all the inner turmoil. And so I'm laying my table before you. Throw it all on there, and I will set it on fire. And son, you've given me a blank slate to work with. So I'm going to give you the appetites of my spirit. On this fast, son, as you consecrate yourself unto me, draw into my court of covenant, and I will reveal to you all the mysteries of your destiny, all the mysteries of your identity. And son, we have some catching up to do, you and I. Move, son, in a new surrender, but come wanting, come needing, son, come craving the truth. And I see, and you're coming to God with all these bags, and he's going to fill all the bags with the truth. And he's even going to put you back together. I see, as you are now, you're not quite whole. You're not matching God's definition of whole and even your own definition. And throughout this process, God wants you to continually surrender your will in your ways. And as you do that, as you lay all these things on his table, he's going to send his fire. Then he's going to shift and he's going to send you all his things. And in this court, there's a really easy protocol. And it's just that. It's a transference. You're going to give and you're going to get. And you're going to be restored. And God is saying, because there's a little bit of, trepidation for what really lies where that high calling is. And all those little, it's just like, I can't go all the way in because what am I agreeing to? God sees that. And as he heals you, you're going to know that you're going to be protected. And the true place of protection is a place of consecration and surrender and not of man's sense of comfort.
Alan, as Aaron was given that message, I looked up to Aaron. What I saw was a flash of light go across your head, to fly across the top of your head. And God said that the angels are around about you, gathered around about you, and they're there to help you and to protect you when you're doing your deliverances or even when you're on a job, wherever you're at, those angels are constantly there. And if you'll just open your eyes, son, you will see the flashes of light too, and you will feel my angelic presence, and you will know that I, the Lord thy God, you have found favor in my eyes, and I have come to assist you in the works that I've called you forth to do. There is nothing to fear, son, absolutely nothing to fear, because my angelic hosts are constantly there to help you minister. And Wendy, God's telling me to tell you that even though it seems dark and black, it's really light and glory. And he's saying that, you know, the enemy's trying to sidetrack you and make you walk some other way. But God says, keep your eyes upon him and upon his glory and upon the words he's already spoken to you. And you're going to see the victory on all sides. You really are going to see the victory in whatever it is that you're doing right now. And Caleb, more God would say unto you, danger, danger, danger. Be on alert, because the enemy is all around about you. You have not yet yielded all of yourself unto me, the living King. And son, you are mocking me when you yield yourself to the enemy. And I'm telling you this night, you need to make your choice this night to either serve me or serve the dark side, because your days are numbered, and I will be coming. But where will you go? I know that's hard, but that's what God's saying. You know, God's shaking in here tonight. He's shaking, and you need to have wisdom to understand what God is saying to each one of you in here. And Tiana, God will say unto you this night, never, 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 never allow the enemy to ever take you down another dark road. Your roads are all bright before you. Your past is gone, totally gone. And I'm taking you into something brand new. And as he said that, I heard the word Job. You know, Job lost everything. And whenever his test was all finished, God restored to him back more than what he lost. And God is saying, sometimes you revert back to your past. And don't do that. That's the dark side. And the enemy is trying to get you stuck there. And then he has you. So you have to determine tonight, my past is my past. Whatever happened in my past, it's done. It's not going to be, you know, changed. It's done. And then walk in complete glory. And you want to know why you're being fought like you are? And God says, because when you dance, you're liberating the atmosphere. And because you liberate the atmosphere, then that atmosphere liberates the people that it falls on. And the enemy does not want the atmosphere liberated, and he definitely doesn't want the people in the house of God liberated. But he said, the decision is totally up to you. You can either just let the past go, the past that you can't change, or you can move on and do the great mighty works that God's calling you, has already called you to do. All right? You know, God is telling me right now there's abundance of his glory in this room. And that whatever you have need of, if you just put your hand up and receive it, you're going to receive what it is that you have need of. And God's telling me to tell you, he's not a respecter of man or woman or age. Whatever you have need of, he wants to give it to you right now. He said there's healing flowing in the room. It's not only physical healing, but it's, you know, the deep inner hurts that we carry around. And the always puts us in a dark place. He wants everything that's not light. Everything that you're carrying that is not light, he wants it right now. Thank you, Jesus. And he's also saying, you've tried in your own flesh. You have not been able to set yourself free. And he said, but he's here tonight to set freedom in motion.